You're listening to Full Time and you're listening to our Rugby League, our In Touches here on a Thursday, as we are every single week. And as per usual, I'm welcoming back in the man who tries to predict all the results every single week. And you know what? Do you know the piece of paper I wrote them all down last week?
I hope you've lost it.
It's gone walkies.
I think I had a good week last week.
Yeah, last week was a particularly good week. You got 6 out of 8.
Yes, well.
Right, and I am going to find it, because if I don't find it, right, what I'll do is I'll go back and listen to the tapes before the end of the hour. We'll find out how you did last week. First of all, welcome to said show. How has your week been?
It's been a really, really good week, and it's been a feel-good factor for Rugby League, which I know we're going to talk about later on, so I'll not spoil it. But I was literally buzzing this weekend, and once again, I do the report for this particular team, and after 48 minutes, the report was going to be superb. At the end of the game, it was still superb, but it was different because of what happened during that game. And
just a heads up what we're talking about, right? Just there was a result earlier on in the Rugby League week. They were 48-10 up. Everyone thought that it was done and dusted. It was one of those situations where you're going, right, we're home and hosed here. Ended up 48-40. I'm talking about Lee and Huddersfield. We'll talk about them later on in the show, because a very special guest coming in, and hoping to get talking to somebody who knows what it's like to play at this level in 2016. Right, let's have a quick look at some of the other stories making the news. Wigan coach Sean Wayne has cast doubt on whether England captain Sean O'Loughlin will play in the up-and-coming Four Nations series. The 33-year-old Warriors captain, who has missed his club's last four games with a hamstring problem that will force him to sit out the Super 8's top four clash with Warrington, is expected back between now and the end of the season. But this Four Nations competition that we're talking about is going to be up at Anfield. It's going to be given a little bit more kudos, I suppose, than other Four Nations tournaments. Surely it needs players like Sean O'Loughlin.
It does need Sean O'Loughlin, but he's had a lot of injury problems for the last couple of years, and he's been out now for, I think, 4 or 5 weeks. And at the press conference, it got brought up about the playoffs and England, and basically Sean said that Sean, together with himself, Chris Radlinski, who's the director of Rugby League, there does all the contracts, etc., and Ian Lenigan, they would decide between them whether or not. Now, I know it's like saying, well, you know, it's down to the player, but at the end of the day, the bread and butter and the wages are paid by Wigan, so he could end up retiring on a high, because last year he was in charge of the side when they won the test series against New Zealand. So it's a big ask, and it will be a big miss for his experience. He's been there, done it. But at the end of the day, you know, the club support the international game, but he's also got to think about the player and his longevity.
The New England manager, what's his take going to be on this? Because he, as we've discussed on this show numerous times, he's paid quite a nice handsome sum to come over here, what do we say, probably half a dozen times a year, if even, to go over, keep an eye on it. And he's going to be in charge of this Four Nations competition. He's going to need all his players, because ultimately, we're talking about the finances in the game right throughout the year. Finances have been put into that section of the game, the international section of the game. Is it not wasting finances and time when you're paying somebody to come from the other side of the world and then not considering your best players because they may get a niggle and can't play for their club? It's that tricky sort of tightrope you're walking, isn't it?
It's the chicken and egg theory, isn't it? I mean, they'll be castigated if that's the decision they're going to make. But reading between the lines at the press conference, I got the impression that Sean may well be hanging up his Rugby League boots for his country.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then that means he could potentially march on for another couple of seasons. He's 33 now. So our best wishes to Sean as he continues to recuperate. I know what it's like to have a hamstring injury. I have one at the moment, and it's annoying. Just when you think you're all right in your back. Now, granted, I'm not a professional athlete. I just play a bit of football every now and again, but it's a tricky wee bit. Let's have a little look at it's a second week and another disciplinary situation coming from the lower leagues. Workington forward Carl Ahlstrom has been handed a 6-match ban for physically assaulting a referee. The 24-year-old hooker, or loose forward, was initially charged with the grade F offence, which carries a suspension of 8 matches, but it's been reduced to 6 matches. Now, last week we were talking about drugs in sport from the lower leagues. Now we're talking about assault and assault to referees. Now, I didn't see it. I've only read the reports on it and exactly what happened. Did you see it?
I didn't say that. I've just read the report like yourself. You say, I mean, he's got six. And if you get, if you're entitled to eight, you should have got the eight. I mean, I know that there's another player, and we'll not name him. We'll not name the player for obvious reasons. But he's had his runnings, i.e. running into referees, for want of a better expression. And he's been banned for a certain amount of matches. I mean, if you do it once, it's an accident. If you do it twice, all right, it still might be an accident. If you do it three times, as this player is, I don't want to name, you know, he's been sorted out.
Why do it? What's it going to do? Are you trying to intimidate a referee when that situation arises? A referee isn't going to change his or her mind, sure they're not.
Well, they're not, so that's the stupidity. I mean, he's probably the other, so I ran into him, I didn't mean to. Now, obviously, the RFL have looked at the video evidence of how serious it is, and they've given him six matches. But to my way of thinking, the idea is, first of all, you shouldn't touch your referee for any reason. Mm. All right, you know, the captain can go on up and give his opinion on behalf of the team, end of, but you don't start all these touchy-feely-feelies. You see them doing it. I know it does happen in rugby league, and it does happen in other sports, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, it might be a bit draconian, I might be being old-fashioned, but you don't do it. And if you should get eight matches, that's the maximum. That's what he should get, in my opinion. In the amateur game, I mean, I don't know what this particular player's done. I think it's for foul and abusive language to a referee. And this particular amateur player in the league that he plays in has been banned for 16 matches.
16
matches. I mean, you know, it's amateur, so they don't get paid, but it's still 16 matches. But they won't tolerate this abuse authority.
Do you think at all any of the referees that have ever been involved with any of these, do you think they're changing decisions or feeling intimidated by this, or are they happy with this type of stance by the RFL, that they're going, listen, we won't for one second stand for this, so referees know that they have got the support?
Well, they've got the backing of the governing body, and, you know, we have our full-time referees and our part-time referees, but they're all part and parcel of it. And you've got to have the support from your governing body, and this sends out a message. Like I personally, and it's all my opinion, he should have got eight matches, and that cuts it out straight away. If that's the maximum, that's what he should have got. I mean, to me, it should be more than that. But, I mean, we have this scenario that you can have the early guilty plea as well. So whether he got the six matches because he pleaded guilty to it early or not, I don't know. But we don't want to get like other sports where, you know, it's a sign, you know, where you eyeball to eyeball. At the end of the day, you know, if you open your mouth, I think in the 15-a-side code, they don't mess about, do they? Mm. Blow the whistle 10 metres. Blow the whistle 10 metres. And we've not got... We went to that stadium sometime at rugby league, but we've sanitised it now. And I think if we did that in every sport, I think we'd have a better spectacle. Be a lot of people not very happy, but I'll tell you what, the first time in a particular sport will not go down, it they started doing that and they conceded goals, they'd soon stop it, I think, wouldn't they, Connor?
You're listening to Radio City Talk. This is In Touch, the Rugby League Hour, every single Thursday afternoon. It's 4:15. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Steve Manning as well. Right, it's coming up. The three nominations for the 2016 Man of Steel will be announced next week. So what do you think? Where is your brain sitting at this now? Specifically, does this include the Challenge Cup as well?
Well, it's all forms of rugby league, yeah.
Because the Challenge Cup final had a few individuals who surely must be in thereabouts. Who's in your brain? Who are you thinking of?
Well, up to his discretions of a couple of months ago, I would have said John Bateman had a shoe-in. That was internal discretions within the club. And then he was...
That shouldn't really affect the
outs. It shouldn't. Yeah. But the thing is, you see, all the players have a vote. It's not whereas little secret room where you and I and Dave get in there and say, well, what do you think? What about the players have a vote? And I think that the players will vote for Gareth Ellis, the skipper of
Hull FC,
who led them to that Challenge Cup final. He's 35. He decided on his own volition to retire from the international game, but he seems to have got better and better and better. When he played in Australia for West, he won the Players Player for that club, 3 years on the spin, which takes a hell of an effort over in the NRL. So he came three times.
But he's also four times in the Super League Dream Team, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah. And he may well get in that one again, which gets announced in the next few weeks as well. But I think Gareth Ellis will be a worthy winner. Once upon a time, it used to be like the unsung heroes of forwards, but now it's not a case. It doesn't matter whether you're a forward or whether you're back. You know, you pay your money, you don't pay your money, you have your chance to give your opinions.
Going to go throw a few in here, see what you think from another one. one from Hull FC. Huge tackler, huge hitter, Danny Houghton. Has he got a chance of being there or thereabouts? Because we can't control these, like you said, they're picked by the players.
Again, I think when you think about that tackle he did at Wembley, his 58th tackle or 59th or whatever it was.
It was incredible. I watched it again, right? Just as they were about to go over the line. And the way in which he shaped his body mid-air, got himself wrapped around, didn't actually need the player he was tackling, but and he just tapped the ball beautifully away from the line. I'm not sure you'll see a better tackle than that. I've seen a tackle Peter Stringer did in the 15-a-side code, an ankle tap, and it lives long in the memory as an Irish rugby union fan.
Right.
And I've always thought that was one of the greatest tackles ever. But this is another level.
Well, I think he may well have a chance because I'll not say it's for the sympathy vote because he tops the tackle count week in, week out, 40, 50 odd plus.
No sympathy.
And he's an unsung hero.
He's got a challenge. He's got a challenge cup sitting in the mantelpiece of the house. There's going to be no sympathy required. A man we talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks when everybody gets together, they just say, Sneed. So Mark Sneed from Hull FC, astonishing kicking game. It's been one of the keys to Hull's brilliant campaign. And he's going to hope to see if he can get his hands on said Man of Steel award in a few weeks. So has Mr. Sneed got a chance, do you think?
I think he has, but I think, to my way of thinking, it's the ones you go by are what I'd call the war horses. And there's a war horse just watching, and that's being polite about it. But it's the guys that do the unsung work. You know, your Gareth Ellis's, and we've touched on him. Danny Orton, who's the Hull FC.
Is that where your money is, Gareth Ellis?
Gareth Ellis,
right.
in my opinion.
You heard it here first, the contenders for the 2016 Man of Steel. Right, coming up in a second, I'm just going to say a gentleman or gentlemen who are particularly happy this week, and I'm not quite sure if the humans in question take a drink, but if it was me, I'd still be hungover. Find out who we're talking about very shortly here on Radio City Talk. I'm Conor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time here until 6:30 this evening. Right, we are in touch, as we are every single Thursday between 4 and 5. We've held this back a little bit. A bit of a surprise for rugby league fans. And to be honest with you, in this studio, it's not very much of a surprise to us at all what exactly happened over the last number of days. It was Huddersfield 40. Lee 48, and it means that Lee are going to be playing in the Super League next year. It is something we've been championing over the last number of weeks, and I'm absolutely privileged and honoured to join me in the studio. I'm privileged to be joined by Mickey Hyam and Martin Redyard from Lee. Lads, first of all, a massive congratulations. How are you feeling, boys?
Over the moon, obviously, a long weekend, but again, it just a little bit deflated at the moment, you know, got to come down a little bit now, and obviously we've had a couple of days training, which was pretty tough, but again, it's two games to go. You know, we're over the moon, you know, with the achievement we've done, but we'd love to finish on a high and, you know, try and finish top of this middle eight.
It's a massive project. It's a project that's been ongoing for so many years. It's 11 years in the making. Martin, when you look at exactly what happened with the sports village, with the facilities that are there, and Lee being a huge rugby league town, how does it feel when the final whistle went the other day?
Yeah, a little bit like Mickey said, a bit deflated. It was just kind of like we've been at this intensity for a few weeks, wanting to achieve the top of the mountain, and when we got there and the full time whistle went, it was kind of like just a big relief that we've got there. And like I say, it took a lot out of us. But for the town and everything, since I've been there since the Sports Village opened, and it's one of our targets we've had from day one, and to finally do it, yeah, it's a massive achievement.
You've not only been there since the Sports Village opened, that you've spent your entire career at Lee. So
yeah, all my professional career I've done at Lee, yeah. Obviously I'm a local lad as well, same as Mickey, but last 8 years I've been there, and we've wanted to achieve Super League, and with the middle eights we've had the pathway to do it, and like I said, thankfully we've done it.
But what about the last sort of 3 or 4 years when you were in that driving seat so much, so often, and then it didn't quite happen? Did you ever think that you weren't going to get there?
Obviously, with last year's disappointment, there was like the umming and ahhing, would we be able to do it this year? And probably, especially with the situation with the teams that came down, Leeds, Huddersfield, Hull KO, Salford, four quality sides, it was always going to be a massive ask. But I think the good thing about it was there was no pressure on us this year. So I know it was a tougher opposition, but we could go into the games a lot more relaxed. And like I said, we've done it.
You have. Mickey Hyam, from a professional perspective, you've massive experience. You've been right around the Super League block, so to speak. You took a decision to go to Lee, and in recent years, not a bad decision.
No, it's finally, you know, it's paid off. That was one of the reasons I made the move last year. You know, Lee come in, you know, leading to his middle eights, they wanted, you know, me to come on board and hopefully help towards a push to Super League. And, you know, as Riddy said, we failed poorly. You know, it was a real anticlimax last year, I think, with a bit of an angle from the cup, I don't know. But again, I agreed, you know, if we didn't do it that year, you know, we'll go again and, you know, build. And, you know, thankfully we've done it this year. It's been, you know, that hard work has paid off, and I'm so, you know, it's a dream come true. You know, like Martin said, we're two Lee lads, and finally to get the chance to play in Super League with your hometown club, it's a dream come true. So
you started in Lee and then did the full circle, didn't you?
The full northwest circle, yeah. Apart from Widnes, so you never know.
But you didn't have to move house, did you?
No, I've not moved house once.
Good
now.
Man.
Yeah, so it's saved on a bit of petrol over the years. So yeah, it's started here, and I've always said I'd love to come back, and you know, when I've got the chance to play in Super League with them, it's, you know, see, that's like the icing on the cake, really.
Amazing. Return to the Super League after 11 years, a classic tale of being underachievers for so long, but overcoming adversity. Right, if you have any questions for the lads at Radio City Talk, 0151 708 1059. We're going to look at Lee's success. We're going to have a chat about them potentially trying to finish top of the qualifiers. On top of that, we'll be talking about the Super 8, and the beauty about it is next season, the Super 8. Can you think of it? Lee against Saints, against Wigan. Is it a possibility to stay up there and get right up there?
I think it's an aim of ours, definitely. You know, I think we're assembling a squad that we think, you know, not only just surviving Super League, we want to compete and get into that top eight. And I think if you probably look at, say, Wakefield this year, they're a prime example. You know, probably limited resources, and they've got a team that just wants to work hard for each other. And sometimes that can be a, you know, good ingredient, you know, working hard for each other, you know, giving your all, and, you know, it does pay off. So it's
amazing.
No, it's something to work with.
Two big smiley faces, and rightfully so. We'll talk about this more in a second. I'm going to be talking about the celebrations. How do rugby league men celebrate? Yes.
This is Full Time. Radio City Talk.
It is Radio City Talk. We are in touch because it is Thursday afternoon between 4 and 5. Every single Thursday we're in touch with Steve Manning. Delighted to be joined by two men who are going to be playing the Super League next year. It's taken them quite a while, 11 years all in all, for Lee to get there. And Mickey Hyam and Martin Ridyard join me today with Steve. Lads, we're going to have a quick look through how the Super League and indeed the qualifiers have panned out. Something that Steve and I have talked about quite a lot. Is it a good thing, or I suppose, can you say a good thing as fellow players that Leeds have finally got their act together? First of all, Steve, you've been impressed in recent weeks.
Well, they have. I mean, they've done very well. They got off to a bad start. Apart from Lee, they're the form side, aren't they, sort of thing, in each consistency. But no one thought that they'd stay there. I think the top eights is a great system. I think that the middle eights, and it's not because these two guys are sat to the left and right of me here. I think it's a great. It's a great concept because it brought promotion in, because before that we had the licensing, and then after the licensing, where do we go? We went here, and it gave the clubs a chance. There are some people detracting it, saying that they should now cut it down and dilute it and do it different because sides are getting battered 60, 70, 80 odd points by that, you know, the sides who are out in the championship. Mm. But at the end of the day, you've got to give them a chance. And there was a remark the other week, and I think we touched on it, and a particular individual saying, well, why should we give all that money to that club when, you know, it's survival and existence for them? It should be going to the clubs in the Super League. And to me, it just smacks of what some people do think about the Championship and the Super League.
So, lads, you have a game coming up against Leeds in the weeks ahead, I believe. Am I right?
Yeah, look at
the fixtures.
Next Thursday.
So how do you approach that? You have to go full bore now because you're looking to see if you can win it. But you've seen what Leeds have done in recent weeks. And you know what I love about this? I love talking about the qualifiers and not focusing so much on the top end of the table for a change, which is brilliant. So how do you see what Leeds have done, having gone down, having a really cripplingly awful start to the season, but bouncing back? Is that good for rugby? Or at this stage, as professionals, feel free to say it. You don't care. It's your project you're working on.
I think it has been good, really, because it just proves that some of the other Super League teams can step up. Like Mickey said, with Wakefield before, they've just got a good squad, though, that want to work hard for each other. And, you can put all the stars up there with Leeds, and but they finished next to bottom for a reason this year. I mean, they've had a bad run with injuries, but it is good, and it just takes away from the same teams winning it every year. It gets a bit boring, and obviously we're trying to attract new fans and people into the game. So I think that mix it up, and like with Steve saying, with the qualifiers as well, just for have them playing a local derby against Featherstone and Batley, it shows a bit more interest for the championship sides as well. Because like for us as well, we probably wouldn't have had that chance of playing Wigan in our local derby or St Helens or Widnes again. But like with this system now, we've got that chance next year. And
how do you approach it though? How do you approach next Thursday's game? Just another game?
Yeah, I think it's a game that we want to finish off strongly. You know, it's going to be hard, no doubts about it. You know, to get up now, we have ticked the box again to Super League. It's done with two games to go, so it would be easy to, you know, kick back and not worry about it. But, you know, it's our last home game this week against Batley. They'll want to come and spoil the party. And then, you know what, I think it's a big challenge for us. You know, let's go to Headingley and show it, and, you know, and really mix it with, you know, with a team that, you know, they've been the form team in these middle-eights, you know, as well as us. And it's they're getting back to form. All the players are back now. You know, they've got, you know, all the stars are back who've had injuries. So I think it's a great challenge for us maybe to finish. You know, if we can put in a good performance ahead and just before the season finishes, you know.
And set you up, it does set you up for what's ahead next season. We had Derek Beaumont on a couple of weeks ago, and he has said to fans, just if you haven't heard this, I believe he is making the game this weekend a game that anybody can come in and watch. Is it completely free of charge?
Yeah, it's free. I think they just said about, I think a couple of people were donating to Ben's Wish.
Amazing.
But every ticket is free. I think they've got 150 left out of
12,000, wasn't it?
Is it 12,000 seats? Yeah, so I mean, we was all like saying, well, what about our family's tickets? What do we do? He said, well, you best get yourselves ticket office quick. So, but yeah, it's good. It's a good gesture from the club. Like I say, hopefully if we can get 1,000 or 2,000 fans from this for next year for build on it, it'll be great. And like I say, it'll be a big day Saturday and a good atmosphere.
At 12,000 people there, it's something you have had this season, but The actual support you've had over the last, let's say, a decade, and you've watched it, hasn't played from other clubs, but you have been there at the start of your career. You're there now at the end of your career. How good are the Lee fans?
Oh, honestly, you say about your own, but honestly, the Lee fans are, it's the rugby through and through, and they've been through thick and thin, and I think it's great that they are finally getting some reward. And, you know, I think there's a few, I'll speak to, I know quite a few, they've kind of like stayed away the last few years, like, you know, it's same old year and this and that. But I think really now there's a real buzz around the place.
Who's the best fans?
Oh, Lee Centurion.
Good lad. Well done. Well answered. You see, you could have said any of the clubs you played for there. But why?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
He wouldn't have done that. Wouldn't have done that at all. Steve, what does this mean for the actual league in general, that league can go up? And I promise you we'll talk about some of the other clubs and the Super 8 now in a second. But what does this mean for the league itself? Because there has been criticisms of the league. Obviously, there was a situation earlier on in the season with Salford. There was the whole financial side of things, as in, you know, you can't spend X amount on players. The salary cap was there, £5,000 fine, getting deducted points. And it was a real sort of negative atmosphere in and around Super League. It's only about 6 or 8 weeks ago, but now it just feels like a real feel-good factor, both qualifiers and the top eight as well.
Yeah, I think trying to sum it up in as little words as possible, it now gives every club hope. We've got Toronto coming in next year. They start at the bottom. They're going full-time, so they're hoping within about 3-4 years' time, if we still have this system, that they can get there. You've got Toulouse, who I think are full-time. They should get into the championship next year. So they'll have seen what's happened, and then they've got a chance. They've got to get into that four next year. Mm. But again, with the calibre of player, but the bottom line is, it gives everybody hope, doesn't it, boys?
It sure does. I think, you know, we're a shining example. And, you know, we've probably had that little bit of advantage over the other teams that we have full-time. But, you know, I think the quality of certainly the championship, it's been a tougher year than previous. You know, we have come out on top, but there's been some, you know, games that, you know, we've had to grind out wins, and, you know, probably years before we'd have blown them teams away. And, you know, it's good, though. You know, I think it's whether they just kind of run out of steam a little bit, the part-time teams, because it's a big ask, you know, the emotion again into the middle-eight and then having to back it up and lift the intensity against your Leeds, your Salfords, you know, Rusfield, Lulkier, and it's a tough ask, but like you say, it's a bit of financial reward as well. Even if they don't make it up, it's a bit of extra funding to gain that top eight. So I think it makes the championship more stronger because they want to get into that top four. So it's, you know, there's pros and cons about it, but I think it's, well, for Lee Centurion, it's a great concept because we're up, you know what I mean? So
it is. Martin, tell me about this. Be as honest as you like. How does a group of probably, what, 26, 27 men who know they're going to the promised land next season. Though there's two games left. You could call them dead rubbers if you want. I won't do that because you men are both much bigger than I am. How do you celebrate? What do you do? How does that group of players get together and go, yes, we've done it?
We usually just all go home to our wives and kids and have a drink. And maybe a Chinese or something.
Just for the listeners, Martin Ridge has nose has just grown. Pinocchio, big style.
No, obviously we all went out after the game Saturday and we had a few celebratory drinks. We did actually take our wives with us, quite a few of us, and so we could get to stay out longer.
I know why. Hold on,
we can go out next week.
I was just about to say that. We'll find out why put it this way, for the next sort of 10 days, the wives will be anything you want, girls, anything you want at all. Why is that?
Well, after the Eights for the £1 million game weekend, our owner generously is taking us all away for celebrate, so we can watch it.
We're not going to say where. Let's just put it this way: it will be warmer than it is in the Radio City Talk Tower, lads. Listen, we're going to have a quick chat about what's happening this weekend in a second. Wakefield against Hull, Warrington against Wigan, Catlan against Castleford, Widnes against St Helens, and then the big ones: Lee against Bantley Bulldogs, which have a good idea where your head's going to go on that one. Salford, London Broncos, Huddersfield, Leeds, and Featherstone against Hull KR. We'll chat about that and more. Delighted to be joined by the I suppose I can't say victorious, the promoted Lee Centurions in the actual studio with me at the moment. Wait until you actually win the flipping thing. I get the feeling it's going to happen, right? We'll join them with Steve Manning back in Radio City. Talk after we find out what's happening on the roads.
This is Full Time. Radio City Talk.
It is 4:46, Rock Sport and Talk for Liverpool. I'm Connor Phillips, you're listening to Full Time, and we are in touch as we are every single Thursday between 4 and 5, and it was a superb last couple of days for everyone at Lee Centurions. They are going up to the promised land next season. I'm joined by Mickey Higham and Martin Ridyard from Lee Centurions. Lads, first of all, thank you very much for coming in. I know your time is precious. Our very own Steve Manning is with us as normal. I'm just going to have a quick chat through some of the games that are happening this week. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a prediction from all three of you. I have never done this before. Normally what we do is we take a prediction.
Don't lose a paper this time.
Yeah, we normally take a prediction from Steve Manning and then we laugh for 2 weeks about how badly he got it wrong. So I'm just dividing my paper here. First of all, Steve, Wakefield against Hull happening tonight. How do you see that one going?
Well, if I was being serious, and we've got to be serious, you've got to fancy Hull FC to win it. Wakefield have not won a game in the qualifiers yet. They probably burst the gut to try and get a win, but you'd be a bit naive to vote against Hull FC, who still technically are in with a chance of winning the Leaders' Shield.
Right, so who are you going for?
I'm going for Hull. Hull by Hull. I think they'll win by about 34.
Hull by 34?
Yep.
Right. Mickey, you're going to have a go at this one. Wakefield against Hull. Hull are the form team. Are they a team you look up to? And are you surprised by the success? Or has it been something that was coming?
No, I think it's been something that's been coming with Hull. They've been building for a while. And they've probably, I don't mean in a disrespectful way, they have probably been like, you know, kind of like the bridesmaids under cheese. They've always had a squad care, but they've never quite fulfilled that potential. And really, this year, you know, they've stuck with Lee Radford. You know, there were calls for his head early on in the year that he's not the right man to this squad, and it just shows you stick with him. He's, you know, I know Lee quite well. I've played against him for many years, and he's well respected. And it shows that I think he's got the respect of them players, and because they're a talented squad, and you know, and they've really come through it this year. So
call it,
yeah, Hull by 26.
Hull by 26. Right, Martin, what do you think? A Hull side who have cleaned up so far could be the clean sweep this year.
Yeah, they definitely put themselves up there for a good chance. I think, like, just what Mickey was saying up back of all that, I think they have been building for a few years and they've assembled a great squad, and I can see them winning again tonight, but I'm going to say, I don't think it'll be as much. I think it'll be about 18.
18, right. Warrington against Wigan. Warrington, welcome back Daryl Clark and Joe Westerman after their injuries for this big derby match. Steve, you like a derby match?
Oh yeah, I think they're fantastic and this is going to be a cracker. Last week I backed against Wigan and they made me sound stupid.
That's every week, Steve.
Well, I'm a natural stupid person. But you've got to go for Warrington. But I wouldn't surprise me if Wigan made a surprising victory. But I'll go for Warrington by 8.
And that's your own team, Wigan, you're backing against.
I know, that's twice on the spin I've gone again.
Twice in 2 weeks.
I hope Sean Ware's not listening.
Mickey, a few injuries that have settled for Warrington. Is that going to help them?
Yeah, I think so. You know, quality. You know, Darrell Clark's come back in. You know, he's found his form this year. He's been great. And Joe Westman's been all right. You know, he's a lot of stuff comes through him. You know, a bit like Sean Loughlin, he plays the ball. So I think home advantage will come into it this tonight. Is it sorry, tomorrow. I think you'll get a Warrington win by 12.
Well, by 12, this is almost unnerving how everybody is agreeing here. This doesn't happen normally, so...
That means we'll get them all wrong.
Absolutely. Martin Ridyard, Wigan, flattered to deceive a few times this season, but then they have stepped up once or twice when it has counted.
Yeah, I think we was actually talking about Wigan on the way here, about saying about they've probably not got as, on paper, as good a squad as they've had over the previous years, but I think just with Wernie, how he is, I think he's just one of them blokes who... you want to play really well for him, you don't want to upset him.
Because he's scary, yeah. That's right.
But yeah, so I think they've just got it all together and they seem to be a really close-knit bunch. But I'm with these two. I'm going for Warrington by about probably 8 tonight.
By 10. Right, okay.
I mean, what that'll basically mean, Conor, is that they won the leaders' shield with a game to spare when they're going to have a knock-a-thon against LFC.
Does the shield mean anything? I know, lads, it's always good to pick up silverware and have that little sort of, I suppose... a little input in your on your Wikipedia page to say you've won it, but I mean, like, does that mean anything, that shield?
I think so, yeah. I'd really do. I think it's not celebrated enough, to be honest with you. You know, you come top of your tree after what, 25, 28 rounds. I think it's a great achievement. You've been the most consistent team all year, and I think it's a shame that there's a little bit more fuss has not been made of that.
Is the problem that it comes smack bang in the middle of everything, right? So we were talking about being able to kick back and relax and have a party, you guys, which is you're more than entitled to. But the fact that it looks like that, you know, it's going to go right to the wire as to who is going to win this. And it means you're given the leader shield. There you go. By the way, I put that in the loft. You have to go back to training. Is that kind of how they're going to see it?
Yeah, probably. I think you're right, though. But I think Mickey's... hit it right on the head. I think it should be celebrated more. I mean, like Hull the other week, after the league games before the Super 8 started, they'd finished the top, but they've no reward for that. Mm. So they've been the most consistent team up to that point. But then now they've not got, well, they've still got a chance of winning the league leaders, I think, but they might not win it. And I just think it is a bit unfair. But like you said, if Warrington do win it tomorrow, I think they should have a bit of a celebration about it, because it's a big ask to win the Super League. But then I know the big prize is the grand final, but they should make a little bit more about it.
Well, sift through these a bit quickly, because I want to have a chat about the qualifiers as well. Catalan Dragons against Castleford. Steve, call that one for me.
Catalan Dragons by 18.
Catalan by 18. Right, Mickey?
Cass Tigers by 4.
Oh, I love this. First argument I've had to change. Tigers by 4. The more awkward, the better. And Martin, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm going Cass by 10.
Look at this, the Tigers by 10. Love to see a good argument. And Widnes against St Helens, a Saints side quite similar to Wigan in many ways, that they didn't really get it going, or haven't really got it going so far. Not over yet, but as quick as you can, lads, let me see. Steve, what do you reckon?
Well, I think Saints will win by 18, and from their point of view, they've got to figure out whether they're going to be going to Wall or Warrington, but that's for next week for us to discuss.
Right, Mickey?
Saints by 10.
Okay. Martin?
Saints by 14.
14. This is disgrace. You're all starting to agree again. It's making my paper in front of me look even neat. I don't like that. Right, boys, you will know this better than anyone else. We'll finish with Lee against Batley, if you don't mind. Right, Featherstone against Hull KR. Hull KR, a bit of an opportunity to get some scores on the board here, lads. Steve, what do you think?
Well, points make prizes, and they need the points, but I think they'll only win by 32 because Featherstone will be smarting from that good hiding they got at Salford on Sunday.
You're going Hull 32?
Yep.
Right, okay, let me see. I'll go for Mickey, what do you reckon?
Hull by 28.
Martin?
I'll go Hull 22.
22. I like the fact that the professional players are being a little bit more reserved, just in case
they know better than me. They've been there doing it.
They don't want to insult anybody. I like that. Huddersfield against Leeds. Leeds are going to be going head to head with you boys in a couple of weeks. This could be a tough one before that. Huddersfield have one of those seasons where nothing seems to be going right at the right time. Start off with Steve.
Well, I suppose Huddersfield will think they need redemption for what happened last week, and especially that for opening 40. But you've got to go for Leeds, and I'd go for Leeds by
16
lads. This would be, I think, will this be 8 from 9
yeah.
for Leeds? So a really good run of games. Do you think, does that come into your head as you think ahead to like 10 days, well, it's not even 10 days time, it's like 7 days, 8 days time, to you going head to head with Leeds? Do you look at their record?
Yeah, I think it's a massive thing, momentum. I think it's really helped us in these mid-lights. I do. You know, we're finding ways to win games, and we've come behind, you know, all care, 12-0 down we were. I think, you know, 12 months ago we'd have gone to lose that game probably by a hefty scoreline, and I think it just shows that, you know, the learning curve, one from last year, but two, momentum, that, you know, we don't give up and, you know, we keep going, and it's, I think it's a massive thing.
Call us.
But I don't think it's going to happen this week. I think you're going to see a response from Huddersfield.
So?
Huddersfield by four.
Huddersfield by four. I love this. Right, Martin.
Yeah, I'm thinking same as Mickey. As soon as he said Huddersfield, then I think they'll come back this weekend. Right, Huddersfield by 10.
By 10. Right, very quickly, Salford, London Broncos. I'd love to sit here and talk all day because there's so much to talk about with Salford, with Kushkai possibly walking away from the club. But listen, that's for another day. We've literally got like 90 seconds. Salford, London Broncos, they need a big, big, big result. Mickey, first of all, with you.
Salford by 40.
By 40, they'll get there. Steve?
By 60.
Salford by 60. They're the points they kind of need. And
well, they need them, don't they? I want them finished third.
Martin?
Was it at Salford?
It's
yeah.
at Salford.
Yeah, Salford by 30.
By 30, right. And finally, I love the fact we can finish in this. Before we do anything else, a massive thank you. First of all, as per usual, Steve Manning. Not only is Steve Manning the co-presenter of this part of the show, he's also the man who goes and organises to get the lads in. So, Steve, first of all, massive thank you to you. To Mickey Hyam and also to Martin Ridyard from Lee. First of all, going to start with you, Steve. Lee against Batley Bulldogs. What are you going for?
What do I say?
Look at the eyes he's getting.
Batley beat them the first game of the season, and I'll go for Batley. No, I won't. I'm not that daft because I cover them for a paper. Lee Centurions by 28. And hopefully it's not one of these where I do two reports, one after 40 and one after 80.
Yeah, you gave him extra work the other day, so he doesn't enjoy that. Right, Mickey, what do you reckon?
Lee Centurions by
197.
Oh, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? 18.
Right, will you take that? Is that satisfactory for you?
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right, I'm not going to push you too hard on that because the season's not over just yet. And I'm finally with you, Martin.
Yeah, obviously, Lee.
Bye.
I'm going to go 20.
I knew you were going to say 20.
20.
I knew you were going to say that.
Nice, even figure. Lads, listen, we have done nothing, I suppose, over the last month but talk about the story, the Lee story. I hope it continues to build. I hope the success stays there. And for two local lads as well, it really, truly rings home. A, what rugby league means to English people, specifically in the north of England. What it means to the people of Lee as well. And can I just wish you continued success. And even though I spent the last year and a bit living up in Leeds, I'm actually going to say this. I hope he's going to win the flipping thing.